Hello and welcome to the second episode of the OP Buff Podcast. My name is Hollow and I am joined live on Twitch by my friends Retruption and Johnny Vito. Fang and Stark are regrettably unable to join us tonight, but we do have a really cool guest. And Johnny, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself right now, I'm sure the stream and our viewer, or not our viewers, but our listeners on the podcast side of things would love to hear about you.
Well, my name is Johnny Vito. I've been streaming for about 2 years on Twitch. Pretty new to MOBAs in general. I think the most time I spent in a MOBA was League, and I didn't even get to level 30. I gave up. And coming to Paragon, and I'm addicted. Can't stop playing. And I'm currently streaming that only on Twitch right now.
All right, so some of the things we're going to talk about today, I don't know if anybody else has seen. Oh, wow, that's cool. But Epic actually released a month in review type of thing. And it's really cool. It's on their website under the blog part. If you guys haven't checked it out, there's like a cool graphic. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about with you guys is some of the things that they included in the little monthly update type of thing. So I know one of the things that stood out to me was the total hours viewed on Twitch and the total hours that were streamed on Twitch. That's a big number as it is. I know they had a lot of people. It was in the top five the day that everybody could like stream it and the NDA went away. And that's a big accomplishment in itself. I was scrolling through the article, and it talks about the open beta weekends, and I feel like once everybody has access to the game, you're going to see a lot of people streaming and a lot of people watching on Twitch. Do you guys think that that's the case?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the game's going to blow up. I think it will be one of the most popular streaming games in the future, because it's very easy to play while also talking, and a lot of the mechanics lend well for a streamer friendly atmosphere where you're still playing the game, it's entertaining to watch, and it just works well. I think it will be really popular. Compare that to something like StarCraft or League of Legends or Dota. Oftentimes, the players are very, very immersed in the gameplay and can't take a break. I think it'll be a lot more like Hearthstone, but I might be wrong. Hearthstone is a game where you can talk about the meta and you can kind of take a relaxed bit about the game, show off some of the meta game while also just, you know, running through the motions of playing out the early game without stressing too much, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I can totally agree with the Hearthstone comment, because they never overhyped Hearthstone, and Epic's doing it right by not overhyping Paragon and letting people come to the game that are really interested in it. And that's like completely mirrored on Twitch of what's going on. The people that really want to watch and really want to learn and get into this game are watching for so many hours.
Mm-hmm. So you guys don't think it's bad or a mistake on their end that they're allowing people to see the game essentially in its alpha form? You know, a lot of people, or a lot of, you know, development companies don't really want people to see their game this early on. So do you guys think that that's a bad thing, or like the transparency that they're showing, do you think that's a good thing? Do you think the game is going to benefit from having so many people able to watch and play and the feedback that they're going to get, or do you think that it will hurt it in the long run?
Well, personally, I think it's healthy for the game. If the viewers understand that the game's currently under development, they've played another MOBA before, probably. Lots of MOBAs are updated weekly, monthly, you know. It's very important that people see that the developers are working very hard to develop every week, and because that's important for the longevity of this game. So as viewers are watching it on Twitch, they'll see that a new hero is coming out every 3 weeks. You know, if they deliver, then Epic's doing their job. If they don't deliver, then it might be more worrisome, right? And I think they'll deliver. I think they're doing an excellent job. I think there's quite a few bugs that get implemented, and they address them on Reddit. Currently, we have the double bomb gadget bug, and they've said on Reddit that's at the top of our priority list for fixing, getting out of the game. So I think it's important that we see that Epic is doing an excellent job updating, and if they weren't doing an excellent job at updating the game on a weekly basis, I'd be a lot more worried about the future of this game with it being streamed in its alpha form, because the game is kind of rough right now, and it does need some work, but seeing them working on it really hard is something that makes me feel better about this game going forward as a MOBA.
Yeah, the early access is good and bad. The negative that I could think of right now is most people go to watch streamers to see how the actual meta of the game is developing and what to do in game. If you see a streamer doing stuff like that, like the double gadget bomb, or just certain types, like playing the game a certain type of way, it's gonna cause more people to be like, okay, we're gonna run this strategy because this person did it. Which, it's good and bad. It's gonna develop the game, and then eventually it'll get patched, things will get fixed, and it's quicker when people have access to it and more people see it. They, like, more than one person can go to Reddit and be like, oh, I saw this streamer and this glitch happened, or this happened, or this happened, and they don't have to actually play the game to report a bug.
That's true. One of the crazy things that I was thinking about is how they said that every 3 weeks there will be a new hero. That's a pretty big commitment, and it makes me wonder how far into development all the heroes actually are. I know that the Master Edition that you can buy, the $100 edition, shows like 39 heroes. I wonder if that is the set amount of heroes for like the next year, or like how many heroes will actually be available upon the official release. I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, what all they've already got planned and know that they have in their back pocket, you know, like hero-wise. Like, I wonder how far out, like, how many completed heroes there are already that are ready to go. And if, you know, if it's a big number, if that's allowing them to, you know, tackle the bugs and other glitches that are coming up in the game that much more efficiently, because they've already, you know, stockpiled a bunch of the other stuff that's coming out later on in the game. And as we get closer and closer to the official release, how much more of a polished product we're going to have because of that. And I think that's where, like, having the alpha or the early access part is a really, really good thing right now. So, is there anything else you guys want to touch on about that?
I think they stated on release day that they had about 2 months worth of hero work done. So they had like Iggy and Scorch close to finish. They had Sevrog close to finish. They probably have quite a few hero concepts and designs for them thematically, as well as their gameplay designed. I think they have a lot of people working on characters, and you know, they probably make about 10 plus character designs before they choose one and really work on it and flesh it out. I think in the future, I don't know how many total heroes they need, but players like seeing new heroes added to these MOBA games. So it'll be interesting to see if they'll stop and say, you know what, we hit 50 heroes, that's kind of what we feel like we want, or just to see if they'll do the League of Legends thing where just every month they add in a new hero forever. Currently, I think in most MOBAs, the metagame doesn't involve more than 40, 50 heroes for League of Legends or for Dota. And so it would be interesting to see if they do slow down and do stop as after a year or two. I think that might be something. I'm not sure. But I am excited
about
what they do.
I find it amazing. And this kind of comes back from playing like first-person shooters and stuff for me, where, you know, it doesn't matter how many guns there are in a game, like Battlefield 3 and 4, how many, like, hundreds of guns that you could choose from, but everybody always chooses the same three. And it's kind of like in League of Legends and Smite, where, you know, even though they constantly update and patch and buff and nerf heroes, that everybody uses the same, you know, 8 to 9 to 10 heroes all the time. So when everybody likes to see these new heroes released, and it's super exciting, and people data mine them and all that cool stuff. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how often does that hero that comes out actually change the tide, and how many people actually choose that hero over somebody else that, you know, they've played months and months and months with, who you could think of as overpowered? So I love having new things. I like seeing new things released. I like shiny. But at the same time, I think what you're talking about, where they hit their 50 goal mark and then they start working on other parts of the game, maybe that's where new maps come in or something crazy like that. So I definitely see the pluses and minuses to both sides.
Well, yeah, the variety is what's going to keep the game interesting, even for new people coming in, because later down the line you might see someone come into the game mainly because a new hero is released that just becomes interesting to them or brings people back. Like, they might fizzle off for a little while and see a new hero that comes out that's really, really interesting and brings them back into the game.
Yeah, that's exciting to me. I do have one thought, which I don't know if it really applies to this game. But when you mentioned guns, CSGO only has a handful of guns, and it's extremely popular. And oftentimes people are running around, you know, with the same handful of guns, but they don't even have options for more than, I don't know, what, 30 guns, maybe? Something like that. One thing I think that there won't be, it will be more difficult to do the skins, because you can't do a, like, crowdsourced skin for one of these 3D modeled characters. You know, there's not going to be a workshop, because there's a lot more effort put into one of these skins. I think I might be wrong, because they have to do all kinds of modeling around, or like changing the way the skin looks around, you know, the curves and the model of the characters. So I would be very surprised to see skins the way they are in CSGO, where it can be a community skin or something. I don't know. We'll
yeah,
see.
I agree with that. I would see them getting more benefit out of maybe making 3 or 4 skins, and then the community deciding of which ones that they're actually going to put in. It's really going to be hard for them to outsource it to the public.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited about it. So on this like little basic numbers infographic thing that they've got here, I saw something that was very interesting to me. The amount of cores that was destroyed, so the amount of games won, was over 1 million. But harvesters wasn't. The amount of harvesters that were destroyed wasn't over 1 million. So less than one harvester from either team is blown up per game. I think people are really ignoring that gameplay aspect right now, and I think it's actually pretty important, especially for these solo queue players and maybe some of the lower players getting into the game. As you take control of a harvester, you keep it the whole game, I guess.
Yeah.
In some of these games, and that's... I thought that was a really interesting number. Personally, for me, that was the most shocking number, because... taking a harvester, if you plant a harvester, I learned this a couple days ago, if you plant a harvester and you, after you, it starts building, if you stay on the pad for the 10 seconds that it builds, you get a white camp of experience. It's like a third of a level just for standing on the pad as it completes. I think it's a really big deal, and players don't understand like the mechanics involved in harvesters right now, because it's that team share. Amber is such a big deal.
I honestly can't think of that many games where the other team has destroyed my harvester or harvesters. That it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's...
I know that my team will destroy theirs because, you know, it's like it's free card XP. It's a constant source that another team can have. So I agree. I don't think that people are really taking into consideration how much of a difference not having a harvester as a team can affect. Like, it's huge. If you start getting, you know, more than 5 cards up on a team, you've basically won that game.
Yeah, the harvesters are definitely an afterthought. Most of the time, you don't see one getting attacked even in your jungle until they have, like, the second level of towers down.
Yeah. I think we'll see something interesting with the harvesters as players learn. Like, I feel like there should be a mad dash to place harvesters at the 6-minute mark on the side lanes and at the 9-minute mark. And we might see something develop where the devs have to put in some sort of mechanic that limits you placing harvesters, because otherwise you're going to have heroes like Rampage jumping onto the harvester pad at the 9-minute mark, and then you'll have to start a team fight over it to try to push him off, but he'll currently just place a harvester there while you're hitting him. That seems like kind of a faulty mechanic. Like mid team fight, he's placing a harvester, and then if he jumps away, you have to wait for it to finish building. That takes a long time. It finishes building and you're blowing it up, you know, 20 seconds later. Then you have to come back a full 30 seconds after that to replace your own harvester. By then, Rampage might have recalled and come all the way back, and he might just do the same thing to you again. We'll see as people start paying more attention to harvesters, but I thought that was a really interesting number.
I have a ton of games where if I'm playing solo, I will set up 4 harvesters at least that game by myself, and I'll be the only one collecting them.
Yeah.
And it's that, to me, that's crazy. Oh, it's crazy that I'm the only person collecting free card XP, but everybody gets it. But it's just, I'm constantly running around the map, just standing on the platforms, getting everybody, you know, like the 300 card XP, and the other team just doesn't care. They don't do anything about it. It blows my mind. Is there any other numbers that you guys found? Oh, actually, now that I'm looking at it, probably the most important number, players at level 50, 12. Yeah. I don't know if we have an expert in that area, but are any of you guys close to level 50?
Yeah, I hit level 50. I think I was the third person to hit level 50.
Oh, that's terrible. So much work. How many hours do you think it took you?
Oh, God. It took at least 8 days of playtime, and that was with the 100 XP boost thing. And so it's going to take players a very long time to cap out if they're just playing casually. You know, you play 1 or 2 games a day to get the first win of the day boost or whatever. It's going to take a very long time for players to hit level 50.
Yeah.
I think, so it was interesting when I hit level 50, I got 50 coins. That was my prize. I watched, the world first hit level 50, Beacon. He hit level 50. He got 1 XP boost win. He gets an XP boost after he hit level 50. That was his prize. It was kind of silly. But I think I got an email, and I think they've changed this for all future level 50s. I got an email from Arctic over at Epic Games, and he he messaged me and said, hey man, we saw, you know, we didn't have it really implemented yet, but you know, we awarded your account with 75,000 reputation and something like 500 coins, maybe there's some other thing attached to that 75,000 reputation, but the 75,000 reputation felt very good. I was very pleased with that. I think all future people to hit level 50 will be very pleased to hit level 50 going forward. So
what level are you, Johnny?
I think they're like, what was I gonna say, running into the, it's like a RNG aspect of your rewards, because I think I got a, like, the 20th day yesterday of reward I had was 10 games of XP boost, and I was really surprised by that, considering that the reward you said that you got for getting to level 50 was, I mean, I would rather have the 10 games of XP boost for level 50 than the 50 coins and...
I saw somebody on Reddit that got 20,000 rep for one of their rewards. I don't even pay attention. As long as I can buy more card packs, I think I'm happy.
So I think they're still working on it. They're trying to make it feel right and feel rewarding without it like inflating the currency system, because it feels really good to get that 60,000 reputation boost from leveling a hero to say level 2 or your first win of the day. You're just like, wow, that's like 1 in 100 chance, you know, or whatever. It's really exciting and you're happy about it. Like the gambling side of things, it feels good for it to be random. But if it's random, then they maybe can't completely gauge what will happen to the currency system in the future. And there might be players that get very lucky and have a very like loaded amount of reputation and card packs, and it doesn't feel good to them anymore. And vice versa is the same for a player that got really unlucky. They might be struggling. They always get the 200 reputation boost and they might be really upset. So we'll see how that fleshes out over the development, but I think that's something they're still open to changing. They're still working on
that. Something like a level 50, you know, that's in game level. I think you should get something that's what's the word, guaranteed. I think it should be a guaranteed reward, and maybe you get like a random like 2 rewards after that or something like that. Coming from like games like Destiny, where RNG is the devil, I kind of like having a guaranteed reward. But at the same time, in a game like this, I feel like with so few things that you can be rewarded, it's more of the number in front of that reward. I don't really care as much. I'll just keep grinding out games and stuff to try to get the rep to buy card packs and everything like that. But that being said, I'm only level 23 and I haven't used any of the boost. I haven't done like the match win boost or anything like that. So I don't know what I would be at if I actually tried to do the 100% XP boost and all that jazz. So what level are you, Johnny?
I'm in the 30s, mid 30s. I think 30, level 36, almost 37 right now.
Mm-hmm. Did you use any boosts?
Yeah, 2 24-hour boosts for... I used for XP and rep.
Do you guys think there will be anything after 50? Like a prestige type of thing from like Call of Duty or, you know, like superhero leveling or some crazy thing like that? Or do you think 50 is the max and you guys have already reached that? Red has.
Level 50 might be max. I thought there might be an interesting idea that they could put in where they could make a certain level, say, every season. So maybe once a year that you reach through playtime, you play maybe once a day. They make it so that it's attainable for players that play one game a day. But after you've played one game a day, you know, maybe you get like a level 50 equivalent, so you've put in a lot of hours into the game, maybe you get a skin for the season, similar to how they do in League of Legends, where If you're a certain rank, you get a skin. I don't really like the ranking system because it leaves players feeling upset if they didn't quite get it. And it leaves players elitist if they're like, ha ha ha, I have this, you don't have this. But if players earn it just through playtime and, you know, a reasonable amount of time for both, you know, players that play lots of hours, maybe they unlock it earlier. But over the course of a year, anybody that's plays the game, you know, one game a day can earn the reward. I think that would be really interesting to have that as a feature of the game for leveling. I think the leveling feels rewarding right now, but to attach, you know, maybe a Hot Rod Howitzer-esque skin, or, you know, a lot of players don't have access or won't have access to Hot Rod Howitzer after the beta is over. Similar to that, that they can unlock over time.
I definitely like that idea of the season, like a level for the season. The other idea I was discussing with some people was no level cap, like no like player level cap, where you can just continuously level up, and that'll show people how much you actually do play the game, how much you actually time you put in without having to look at hours or anything like that.
Yeah, level 50 won't be. Level 50 won't be a big deal, you know, a year from now. But there'll be players that have a year of playtime, you know.
Yeah.
In Halo, you can actually, they have like the Spartan accommodation thing, is what it's called. It's like the level. And when I played, I got to like 30 something, and I played a lot. And there are people that are still playing that are starting to get past 150. And there are rewards for milestones. 150 is like a big one. But the amount of XP it takes to go from level 149 to 150 is more than like all the levels before that combined. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. And that's like a crazy amount of XP. So I wonder if they will do something like that, where there's a constant grind to keep leveling up to be the first person at, you know, Paragon level 75, and to get to 75 it takes you 6 days of play time or something crazy like that. So I personally would like to see an unlimited cap, just because I think that's cool. I think having a bunch of people running around at the same capped level is kind of boring. But with that unlimited cap, you can see who really plays the game and grinds it out. You'll probably see, you know, way down the line, like, professional players, if you get into a public match or a ranked match or whatever, like a solo queue with them, and you see that they're ranked 140-something, you know that they put the time and effort in, and you know that's, like, the real pro player or something like that. So I personally would like to see an unlimited cap, but that's just me.
So I was looking over the Reddit, and I saw Iggy and Scorch, his abilities. And the thing that stuck out most to me, you know, and this, he might not actually be implemented into the game with these abilities, the way they're stated on the Reddit. But I saw an interesting effect where his ultimate, he sprays fire damage in a cone, and then at the end of the effect, it knocks back all of the players that are in it. I'm excited for some of these effects to show up on heroes that are very predictable, and you can see them coming and you play around them. Because when you're seeing that fire being spewed out, you're thinking to yourself, man, I either need to stun this guy so I don't get knocked back, or I need to get into his fire so that I do get knocked back. And I'm excited to see, like, there's going to be a little bit more thought that goes into the gameplay other than we need to dodge all the things, dodge all the bullets that are flying. I need to get out of this AoE. Like, it's going to be a decision to be, like, as Iggy and Scorch, whether or not it's a good idea to start up your ulti. And it's going to be a decision that you have to think about, you know, maybe 3 seconds before it even happens. I'm very excited to see some of those effects come into this game, because right now, a lot of the abilities, I don't feel like you have that kind of choice. Maybe with Decker's Ult, you have a little bit of that choice. And you can cancel it early. Maybe you'll be able to cancel Iggy and Scorch's effect early in order to knock people back. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
I see that it says that it applies a burn. Do you think that's like a poison type of bonus or a bleeding type of thing that we'll see in cards? That, I mean, honestly, he's the only hero that would have a burn card that they could use, but do you think that's something that we're going to see more and more of with new heroes, is that they're going to have different traits and abilities that specific cards will cater to them?
I think that burn sounds like an effect that they could have cards with, but since I haven't seen any cards with a burn effect, it might be unique to Iggy and Scorch. I don't expect they'll
like
do
a damage over time.
Yeah, I think the effect might be a slight damage over time, the same way that poison or bleed is, but I think it will be a lot more damage, and I don't think it will be related to a card system. But I might be wrong. We'll see. I don't find it likely that they're going to have 10 damage types and 10 different, you know, bleed, poison, burn, ice, and arc, and, you know, 10 or 15 things. I don't expect they'll have that many. They might have 3 or 4, but I don't think they'll go too far. Burn seems like a likely candidate. Since I haven't seen any cards that modify it, I'd be surprised. And there's no other heroes right now that would really that it would make sense with. They might do something that modifies damage over time effects, or make a hero that modifies other heroes' damage over time effects, and that would be interesting. Maybe on a non-specific basis, but It's too early. I think it's too early in the game to have burn effects be implemented in the card system when there's only one hero. Now, if it was bleed and they maybe had, like, Iggy and Scorch did bleed damage, that would make a lot more sense, but maybe I'm wrong. I know they have a poison card. That seems very weird to me right now. I don't know where that's going to fit into the meta, since it doesn't seem to be very good while there's no poison modifiers.
Have you had a chance to look at it, Johnny?
I'm wondering if the burn damage is going to be kind of related to how Severog is with the stacks. Maybe there's going to be something like that where you build up over time and your burn damage is either a longer duration or actually does more damage.
And that would be interesting.
Cool. Have a crazy strong, like if you saved your ultimate for however long and you got like a couple kills stacked up or something and you just unleashed hellfire and just burned everybody alive. Yeah. But I am excited to see his play style and how the community will use him.
Yeah, he has a turret, and that worries me, because I've seen other heroes from other games with turrets, and typically turret heroes are very hard to balance. So we'll see how Epic tries to handle the turret hero. It might be more like a one-time use ability, similar to like a gadget bomb. You throw it down and it burns them for say 5 seconds before it goes away. But that would be very different from what I envision, which is a turret, you set it up, and it lasts a minute. But maybe I'm mistaken, like, on what it means by flame turret. And again, these are just the things I've seen on the Reddit, not the announced character.
So when I think of turrets, and you guys can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, I think of turrets as something that shoots when enemies are near. And reading this, it just says that Iggy throws out a turret that deals energy damage to nearby enemies and applies burn. Turrets prioritize enemy heroes. I don't know if that... The way I read it, it's almost like you throw it out, and from that point on, it's just shooting out fire. And it's not going to... It's not something that you can place around a corner and it will wait for a hero to run by or anything like that. I know, like, Vulcan from Smite is probably the hero that I've used and seen the most of personally. And his turret, you know, has the cone and waits for somebody to get close enough to it and it will start shooting at people. But you can destroy it and stuff. But it stays up. I'm pretty sure there's no, like, timer on it. It stays up until somebody destroys it. Do you think that there's going to be a timer on this? Am I reading into it wrong? Do you think it will actually just sit wherever you put it and wait for somebody to walk by and then start shooting out fire? What are your guys' opinions on that?
Well, I think it will. If it is something that you set up and it stays up for a long amount of time, it will likely be too strong when it first comes out, even if it does very little damage. Because you'll put it up, you'll set it in a place that makes it very hard to gank you. And if you can set up two, you could just, like, you could set up mid lane. So mid lane is almost an ungankable lane, because as they're walking through, they'll get pelted, they'll get rooted for 3 seconds. They won't be able to go back into travel form. I find that idea very hard to balance. I wouldn't be surprised to see... I think players would likely place them outside of lane if they were given the option to, just to protect rotations in the current state of the game where players are rotating all of the time. It might be related to how close you are to the turret, is how long it lasts. Maybe it only lasts while you're within a certain radius and then it breaks, but maybe it stays up permanently. Or maybe it only stays up, say, 10 seconds every time you place it. It's this active ability that places a turret, and you want to place it down relatively early in a fight, but it will be gone by the end of the fight.
Yeah, it can definitely be something that can be overpowered, considering if you're holding a lane by yourself, it's almost like having another hero in lane if it's doing that much damage. I wonder if they're going to also be directional, if they're not going to be a full 360 fire radius, if they only will fire in the direction that you place them.
One of the viewers asks, if that means that you can clear a wave of minions, can you quickly place a turret and have it target a tower? Or then that makes me think, can you just shove the turret inside of the circle around the tower and it'll just auto lock onto that tower and just keep shooting at it, and will the tower alternatively start shooting at it and destroying it? I wonder if they've done any of this stuff. I'm sure somebody there is able to answer that question.
If they were to have turrets inside of building range, which I think they will, they'll probably do the same thing that they do with most of the other MOBAs, which is that the towers get targeted early on and they just get blown up. They have relatively short range, so they're one of the first things that gets targeted. Or maybe player-controlled minions are targeted first naturally all of the time. We might see things like that. I'm not sure. But I think that the idea will be fleshed out. I'm a little bit worried because it can be very difficult to balance for all of the different skill levels. You know, a tower that locks onto a player is going to be much stronger at a lower skill level, where you might naturally have less chance of hitting your opponent. If the turret is just constantly locked on, dealing real damage to them, that can be really frustrating as a newer player. But we'll have to see.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen. I do like the thought of just placing it around in the jungle and having people run into it. That'd be funny. and really frustrating. It make people, I feel like that would almost make people use travel mode less if they have to worry about constantly being rooted to the ground, running around the jungle, but I don't know. Do you guys have any other thoughts on Iggy? I believe he comes out next week.
Yeah, I find it likely that he will be released by the end of this week or early next week. I might be wrong, but that would make sense to me. End of next week seems pretty far away. I think they released Sevrog on a Wednesday. I might be wrong.
On Wednesday? Okay. You guys have anything else you want to talk about, Iggy and Scorch?
No, I think we'll see when he comes out, maybe talk about him some more when we actually have some idea of how his gameplay is, for sure.
Well, they did release, like, the look of him, and very different than the rest of the heroes in the game.
Well, let's talk about the look of the heroes. I think a lot of the heroes are designed with other genres in mind to attract players, because Iggy and Scorch looks very similar to Warhammer characters called Squigs. And they have Rampage seems to be very, very similar to the Evolve monster. I've never played Evolve, but I've had lots of people tell me that. Murdoch seems like a Gears of War character.
Yeah, he does.
And, you know, there's similarities all around. I'm excited to see where they go with that, you know, for 39 heroes. They might have that same theme going on forever. You know, drawing new players in from other genres is great, and people can relate, and people can talk to, you know, their coworkers about Paragon and say, hey, man, like, check this game out. You like 40K. Well, this game has a squig in it. You know, and people will be really hyped about it. So, I like that a lot.
Definitely.
I'm excited. It's really cool that we have a schedule that we can look forward to. I wonder if when they release Iggy and Scorch, if they'll tease the next hero, or
just wait. You know, man.
Yeah.
That'll be scary.
You know, we got Sevrog. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like seeing Iggy and Scorch and Sevrog posted up on their website, and you know that these heroes are coming. You know what they look like, but you have, like, no idea what they are. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool sitting there guessing. I would like to see, hey, Iggy and Scorch is available in-game right now. Oh, you can't play. Well, here's something to whet your appetite next time. And they show a new character off, like a little teaser thing. So I think that would be pretty dope. Some of the other things that they touched on but didn't really talk about in the monthly review check-in thing were things that they're going to talk about in the future, and that includes matchmaking, movement speed, how they're going to explain the card system better to players, especially new ones, toxicity, hero balance, philosophy. So I assume they're not going to wait a month to talk about all of those things. We'll probably hear more about them in their own articles, perhaps. But is there anything on that list of the future topics that really stands out to you guys or that you feel really strongly about? Like for me, I know last week we talked about movement speed and how I felt like the game was actually slower than it might seem.
I'm excited to see where they go with the explaining the card system. I think the card system is, it's not finished yet. It doesn't seem to be, but explaining the basics of the card system seems very important to me, and having players understand like how the defense formula works. For instance, a lot of players are just completely ignoring armor and HP 100% of the time. They never build it, and then they get very frustrated when they get two shot at the 60-minute mark. you know, they're like, I'm playing Rampage. I've got, you know, 8 HP bars naturally. Why do I need more defense? And just with 100 armor, you double your effective HP total without that many card points, because 100 armor is 5 card points, right? So you double your HP with 5 card points. And players don't seem to understand the basics of it, because they haven't been taught by either the top streamers. A lot of the really good streamers are playing heroes that they can close out a game in like 25 minutes with. They're playing heroes like Murdoch, they're playing heroes like Rampage, and they're just winning games very early, and they don't get into stalemates like the average solo queue player gets into, where the game goes, you know, 60 minutes long, everybody gets full builds. Well, if you're full build and you've got all damage and you're a melee hero, you're a lot more susceptible to just getting deleted from long range before you can do anything. And that can be really frustrating to new players, because they don't understand why it's not working out for them. And I think just a brief explanation of how to build a melee hero, why you're dying late game, and maybe like build an offensive cards early game, trash one or two of them for a defensive card late game, can really fill out a build when all the carries on the enemy team are getting their crit damage multiplier, lots of attack speed. And it would be really nice if Epic Games could release a video, a how-to on how to build a deck, because a full damage build only takes 25 cards-ish, and so you have 15 cards of maybe something to fill out a build for late game for these carries, or for these tanks that are dealing with the carries.
I know I talked to somebody on Twitter today about energy armor and Murdoch and problems that they were having when they were three-shotted at the end of games, and it's like, just build the armor. If you know you're going up against a Murdoch, definitely check what you're playing, because sometimes if I see that there's like a Muriel, a Gideon, a Howitzer, and a Murdoch on the other team, I'm just going to build energy armor just for fun, almost. I know that they all use it, and why wouldn't I put some on? So I feel like once people start getting a grasp on like changing their builds up, like I started messing around with different types of builds and lifesteal and all types of fun stuff, so I think once people get past the whole damage is king phase and start actually trying different things out, I think we'll see closer games because of that, for one. And I think we'll start to see really cool builds. I played against a dude the other day who had a Gideon, and he maxed out his crit and his energy damage, and he was like melting people's faces off.
Yeah.
And like, normally you don't see that. You see them, you know, take down their cooldown time and stuff like that. So I think once people get more comfortable with the fact that you can actually change how your heroes react to certain situations and stuff like that, I think we'll start to see an increase in... So honestly, both of your guys' opinions from playing him, do you think that Murdoch is OP, or do you think it's just that the community as a whole aren't taking the proper precautions when going into a game against him?
I certainly think in the current game state, Murdoch is overpowered. I don't know if a direct nerf to him would be a solution. It might just like delete him from the game, because he's a hero that doesn't have an escape. He doesn't really have end game the same way that Sparrow's end game. And a hero like Twin Blast has big massive disengage and a big massive AoE slow. And so he's going to be viable even if he doesn't get a lot of kills. He can, you know, play more of a support DPS role, whereas Murdoch has to be in the fight. He doesn't have a escape. He's going to be taking damage. So if he's not if he's not relatively strong, he's going to have problems. So just a direct nerf to him, I don't think would be the solution. What are your thoughts, Johnny?
Oh yeah, the majority of the games that where I'm playing Murdoch and wrecking people is where they're not building energy armor at all, and it is being neglected.
I just think that people don't understand what you can do.
I think one thing a lot of players aren't doing is currently they think of a balanced build for their DPS items, and they go, okay, that will be 25 card points, and then maybe I have 15 cards I could put in like some energy armor, but there's not really enough space left in my deck for the utility cards like the harvester keys, the wards, and they don't really know what they want to do with the rest of their build because they don't have the options for it. Because they feel limited on card pool. And I think what players need to start doing is they, you know, a lot of players are playing the same hero. Like I play Twin Blast 20 games in a row sometimes before I play another hero. And if you have two or three decks and one's like Twin Blast deck for when there's no support, Twin Black Blast deck for when there's an enemy rampage and I need some lifesteal, and maybe a more durable build. You have three or four decks for this hero that you plan on playing, maybe even like an entire week or two. That can be really important to feeling like you have enough cards to build a DPS build and then fitting all the utility cards that you might need in a single game. Because if you're playing with your friends and you know they buy harvester keys, you don't need a harvester key on Twin Blast. It would just be a wasted card. So I think it's something that will develop over time, but it's more difficult for players to, you know, design more than one or two decks and learn when they want to take a anti-magic deck or an anti-physical damage deck.
And this might be my own personal experience, but I feel like nobody that I play against or play with take wards. I genuinely do not see them, but like maybe one game out of 10, somebody from the other team will throw one down in one of the pools. But honestly, I think that wards are so important. It's almost an easy win now if you can get two other people to run a ward with you and just throw them down, even if you have the cards that have the shadow wards. Like, it's a unique thing that you get with it. You get two of them. Do you guys feel the same way, or why do you think wards are neglected in this game? Do you just think that people jungling don't know what they're doing?
100% they're neglected. People see more benefit with taking a card, like actual like damage card to start with, and even leaving pots and no ward. But you can, a team that knows how to use wards in any game is gonna, any MOBA is gonna succeed.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm glad that I'm not wrong.
I think they're undervalued. I think the issue is a lot of the players that should be taking wards are thinking to themselves, somebody else will do it. It's not my job. I think Gideon is an excellent choice to start the game off with either a harvester key or a ward, one of the three cost ones or the two cost harvester key, because he's in the center of the map generally. He's doing mid lane things, and he can rotate out of lane from there and get some really solid ward placements, some easy key placements on his own harvesters, or if somebody on his team gets his own harvesters, he can invade. He's a safe hero to invade with because of his teleport. And you don't see too many players doing that yet. I think you'll start to see that in the future as players learn from more experienced players. You'll start to see the top tier play slowly being learned and digested by the lower players that are, you know, brand new to the game. They show up, they're not going to know what to do, and so they go onto a stream or they go into a game and they play with somebody that shows them how to do a excellent ward placement, and they go, wow, that really worked. I can't believe that a Gideon that didn't start with potions is beating me. Why is he beating me? This is why. And they start to digest the game, I guess. So yeah. I think that those type of things will be learned as tournaments show up, as some streamers that are skilled get more popularity. Currently, people that are really successful at the game that are maybe even top streamers, they don't have to ward because they're already going to win the game. But if they got into a situation where they were in an even matchup, maybe they would ward. And you would see some more typical gameplay that maybe newer players would see.
Yeah, I think that lends itself to be like, we're all playing a casual playlist right now. We're not in a ranked playlist. And once I think they incorporate that, that's when you're going to see more advanced tactics with wards and things like that.
All right, guys, we have been live for over an hour now. So I think it's about time for us to wrap this up. Is there anything you guys want to talk about real quick that is burning inside of you? You have a desire to scream how much you hate Murdoch or how you never play with a good Muriel?
Yeah. I do have one short thing to mention. There's currently some like damage calculations going up for how to build the best, the most damage. And I think players might overvalue this when they initially see it, because, you know, doing top DPS seems like a good idea, but in reality, you might want something more consistent, or, you know, being able to last hit is really important. So attacking really fast for 38 damage might not be very good. So I think people should take DPS calculators with a grain of salt. But endgame builds, they're probably pretty good. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Definitely was going to say Muriel is a really good Muriel on a team is pretty aggravating. Because players that make a lot of mistakes can get rewarded by making every 1v1 where they're at a disadvantage a 2v1. And yeah, it's just a free escape. But I mean, you just got to take that into account while you're playing, that that can happen no matter where you are on the map. It's like if she has her ult, you pretty much you're pretty much getting ganked by another player. Yeah.
My name's Hollow or Corey. You can find me at twitch.tv/hollowtide_ at the end of that, or on Twitter at hollowtide. Yeah, that's me.
And yeah, I'm Retruption. You can find me at twitch.tv/RETRUBTION. I try to stream a couple hours every day, but some days I miss. No planned schedule.
You're not about to grind.
And I'm Johnny Vito. twitch.tv/JohnnyVito. Twitter is Johnny_Vito. Yeah, streaming Paragon for the foreseeable future. I don't see any other games. Maybe a few, but not many other games that are going to keep my attention like this one right now.
All right, cool. That's it for the podcast. Cue the music.